choir. That was Boaz. And turn in your hymnal to hymn number 358. Hymn number 358. God will take care of you. And let's stand and sing this hymn together. 358.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. He will be care of you. God will take care of you.
Verse 14 through 17, Revelation 3, 14 to 17. Beginning on 14, and unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence here tonight. We pray now, Lord, that you'd be with Pastor Holland as he ministers to us tonight. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit power upon him. Lord, give him the words, the strength, and the ability to minister to us, Lord, that we may be blessed through the preaching of your word. And I pray, Lord, for revival within our own hearts. And Lord, just help us to receive what is intended for us. And Lord, most of all, help us to put feet to that message. Help us, Lord, to live it and to share it. In your precious name we ask. Amen. Please be seated.
Purity in thought and deed. Revive. Appreciate that song. What a wonderful truth. Revive us, O Lord. I think you'll see that fits into the message tonight for us. And I appreciate the Bakers using their talents to the Lord. I appreciate the Bakers. They have been friends of ours for a number of years. When I preached here before in the past, we went to the Baker's house. And we had some fellowship with them several times. And I know their children and know their family. They introduced us to the game called Apples to Apples, if you've ever played it. And we learned that over there. We went home. We bought it ourselves. We played it in our house, and they haven't invited us back since then, maybe because I won. Maybe they're jealous, I don't know. But I appreciate the Bakers and that song, Revive Us, O Lord. I hope that's your heart tonight, that you want God to revive us. We do need revival. And there's no doubt in my mind that our churches today need revival. In fact, the message I'm going to preach tonight, I preached in our church a while back. We are doing a series on revival and talking about who needs revival, and I think we do. I think we're honest with ourselves. In the song that they sang, the words were that way, that we need to be honest with ourselves and see us for what we really are. I hope that you will tonight revive us, O Lord. But I have had fellowship with the Bakers in the past, and I enjoy their fellowship. Thank you so much for that song tonight. Today I had fellowship with the Foremans, and we enjoyed that and had a good time there. Just want to say, if I come back to preach, Bakers, I'm coming back to your place, all right? Hands down, all right? Foremans are out, Bakers are back in. No, I'm just teasing. I love the Foremans. Good to see them here, and thank you for their hospitality today. I appreciate that. And for everyone at the church making us feel welcome today, making my family feel welcome, I do appreciate that. It's a good testimony. Many faces and making me feel at home. Mrs. Foreman sang this morning, and then Mary Daga sang tonight. She's a former member of our church, and see other people that used to be part of our church. Now, I will say we have a lot of people that used to be part of this church that are members of our church now, and our churches are very interconnected that way. And we are thrilled with the folks that have come to our church from your church, and we're thrilled that people are here from our church serving here. And so it's good to have churches of like faith and practice that when you move from one place to another, you can relocate and find a good church. And this is a good church that teaches solid doctrine and has a family that loves each other. May it always be that way. It has been for years and years. May it continue to be that church that our church can say, there's a church you should go to. If you're going to Simcoe, that's the church to go to. And I hope you say the same thing about St. Thomas, that if you're in St. Thomas, that our church is the church to go to. I was driving through town. I saw the sign for Grace Baptist Church. And on the sign, there was a sign of a man who was preaching today, Dan Burkholder, who I happen to know from St. Thomas. He used to pastor the Fellowship Baptist Church in St. Thomas. And I saw his name there. He is a good man, not of our doctrine, but a nice, good Christian man. We've had personal fellowship, never ecclesiastical or church fellowship, but some personal fellowship. And I saw his name on the sign, and I thought, how come my name's not on the sign? You have a sign. My name could be up there on the sign. So I was going to call Zach this afternoon and like, paint my name on the sign. I thought that would be a bad idea, probably. But I appreciate this church, and I appreciate all that you do for us. And I'm looking forward to what God has for us tonight. And I do need to tell you about a few things. My pastor sent me a text today. He said, make sure you tell the people about Bearing Precious Seed. And so I will. Bearing Precious Seed is our Bible printing ministry. And it is the goal of our church through our Bearing Precious Seed ministry to put a Gospel of John and Book of Romans in every home in Canada. That's our goal. That's about 9 million homes, we figure, in Canada. So it's a great, lofty goal. And we are just a few weeks away now, probably about a month and a little bit away from producing our 2 millionth John and Romans. So we're on our way to 9 million. And we are going around and asking churches to partner with us in any way, shape, or form. It does cost money to produce those. We do have Scripture Publishing Month. We do have churches that support us on a monthly basis. So he wanted me to let you know that the Bearing Precious Seed Ministry is continuing to move forward. And we are looking forward to what God's going to use that to do. And if your church would love to be a part of that, we'd love to have you partner with us in getting the gospel out to not just the church areas, but we're trying to send those, mail those from our location to places where there is no church to get the gospel out and have folks have the gospel in their hand. And it costs us about 34 cents to produce a John and Romans and then mail that from our door to somebody else's mailbox. And so per John and Romans, that's what it costs. So if you want to do something around that lines, that would be great. So the pastor is excited about that, and I am here to represent Bearing Precious Seed as well. Also coming up in September, The 20th to the 22nd, we have the National Preachers Fellowship. It's going to be in St. Thomas. So we have all the pastors that we know, independent Baptist preachers from across Canada. We've invited them to come to our place, and we're going to have several nights of meetings there. I'll invite you to come up. If the evening, you can make it. It starts at 7 o'clock each night. Brother Sam Davison is going to be preaching for us on Monday and Tuesday night. And so if you're available and free, we'd love to have you come. Of course, your church staff has already been invited. Many of you are already signed up to come and be part of that. We'd love to have you be part of our National Preachers Fellowship. It's going to be great. We have some great things planned. We have some great videos and things done that we have done to just some patriotic stuff. We love our nation of Canada. And Canada needs the gospel. And I can say our nation because just last November I became a Canadian citizen. I was born and raised in the United States, but now I'm a dual citizen. So I am an official Canadian citizen now. So this is our country, and we need to reach our country with the gospel. And we're excited about that. So you come September 20th, 21st, 22nd. Those are the dates. If you need more information, you can see your pastoral staff about that. So there's all the advertisements I have tonight, and you made it through all those. Now let's get to the Word of God. And let's have a word of prayer, and I'll give you a message from God's Word, and I hope that God touches your heart tonight. Lord, we are grateful to be in your house tonight. Other places that others have gone tonight, but Lord, these folks have chosen to come to your house tonight to learn from your Word, to exalt your name, and to worship you. We pray that in this time that you would speak to our hearts, that you would draw us closer to you. Your Word says if we draw nigh to you, you'll draw nigh to us. And so, Lord, these folks have come to church tonight, hopefully not out of routine or habit, but out of love for God. And as we've come together, may you draw us even closer to you. Please reveal to us tonight those areas that you are not pleased with. And as the song that was just sung says so aptly, please revive us. Give us revival. May the things we do here not just be a routine. May it not just be a habit. Oh, Lord, please make this real. Lord, I pray that this time that your word would speak to our hearts. In your precious and holy name, we ask these things. Amen. Many of you are probably familiar with the passage of Scripture that was read in Revelation chapter 3. That's what will be, Revelation chapter 3. Sometimes you feel as a preacher like not preaching familiar passages of Scripture because they've been preached before. You probably, and when folks read it, they think, well, I've heard that before. Number one, I had nothing new for you tonight anyway. You have heard it before because the Word of God has been around for thousands of years, and this is God's Word. And I don't apologize for preaching the same thing again because we need to hear it again. And so here in Revelation chapter 3, we find 2 and 3 tell us about seven churches listed that were actual churches at that time. 2,000 years ago, there was a church of Laodicea, there's a church of Ephesus, there's churches, just like a church in Simcoe, there are churches, actual literal bodies of believers that had joined together to exalt the name of God. And so there are churches, and these churches were literal churches. But we also believe that these churches are a picture of church periods or historical time periods. And so in that thinking of things, as we come to the last church mentioned, the church of Laodicea, which we read about just a few minutes ago, this is the last of the church periods. And we believe that we are living in that last church period. I believe with all my heart. I believe that not only we believe that because we believe the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon, but I believe if we read this text and we compare this text to the churches, especially here in North America, I talk about America and Canada, we compare what we read tonight to what is happening in churches across North America, we have got to come to the conclusion that we are living in this last church period. Now, I will say that the Laodicean church is not a good church to be part of. We'll read that. We'll see that tonight. It's not really a church that I want to be a part of. I will tell you this. It is possible for the Bethel Baptist Church of Simcoe, Ontario, to be a Philadelphian church in a Laodicean age. That's possible. A Philadelphian church was a missionary church. It was sending out people and sending out money and seeing great things happen. It's possible, though we live in this bad age of the Laodicean age, we can have churches and individuals who live beyond that and above that and have that reputation of being a missionary-minded church. And so I hope and pray that you tonight would say, I don't want to be part of this Laodicean age. I want to be a Philadelphian Christian. I'll be someone that's doing what God wants me to do and living for the Lord. There's only one church that there's not one bad thing mentioned about. But here in the Laodicean church, nothing good is mentioned. And this is the church age I believe we live in. If any church needs the Holy Spirit to do a miraculous work, if any church needs the Lord to revive us, it has got to be this Laodicean church that we live in and we minister in. Let me show you what I mean here in Revelation 3, 14 to 17. I won't read all those verses again. We'll go through those in just a little bit. Especially we'll look at verse 17 tonight. And tonight I believe that we can see ourselves as the Bible describes us as neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm. Tonight the title of my message is simply this: lukewarm and loving it. Lukewarm and loving it. As we come to church and as we drive our nice vehicles and as we pull into nice buildings and as we get together and have church, oftentimes if we're honest with ourselves, we have to come to the conclusion that maybe we're just lukewarm and just loving it. Just very content. Can I tell you, first of all, I just have two simple points tonight, that the satisfied are lukewarm. This passage reveals to us that the satisfied are lukewarm. And the Laodicean church was full of satisfied people. Satisfied. The Bible here describes them as lukewarm. Verse 16, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. We've all heard that preached before. Lukewarm and God spew you out of the mouth. And how it made God sick. I'll tell you what, the day that I surrendered my life to God, it was not in a church service. It was in a hotel room on a missions trip with my youth group. And I came after a hard day of door knocking and handing out flyers and vacation Bible school. And I was tired. And some guys were praying and they asked me to join them in prayer. And I didn't want to do it, but I joined in out of positive peer pressure. And as I prayed, the Lord brought this verse to mind as a 17-year-old boy. And I said, Lord, I know I'm lukewarm. And God broke my heart. He broke my heart. And I said, God, if you can use me in any way, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I know you don't want me to preach, but whatever else you want me to do, I'll do it. That's what I said to him, honestly. But I said, Lord, even if you want me to preach, I'll do that. I saw myself as lukewarm, and it changed the direction of my life. Lukewarm. The church is described as being lukewarm. Archaeology shows us that Laodicea, the city of Laodicea, had an aqueduct that was about 5 miles long. And this aqueduct carried hot water from the mineral springs that was 5 miles to the south. Which by the time it made it to Laodicea was no longer hot from the springs, but was probably lukewarm. Not cold, not hot. When it says cold and hot, we always think, well, cold is bad and hot is good. I don't know if that's the picture that they're trying to get across here. I think the picture is this. Cold water is useful. I like a nice cold glass of water, don't you? I mean, when you're playing basketball, or you're out playing outside in the sun, you come out with a nice cold glass of water. You can even wash some things in cold water. And cold water is pretty useful. And hot water is useful. When you have a cup of coffee, you like to have it hot. You go someplace to get a hot cup of coffee. You like it. If it's cold, it's cold. If it's hot, it's hot. And if you want to wash clothes, you wash in the hot water, get some cleaner, all that kind of hot water useful. Cold water useful. Not much use for lukewarm water. And I think the picture is here that as we as Christians are lukewarm, we're very useless to Almighty God. Hey, we may look good on the outside and we may be in the right place, but if our heart is not wholly behind what God's doing, are we not lukewarm? And the church here is described as being satisfied, just going through the motions, and lukewarm. The church here is described as thinking they are rich. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich. I am rich. Today, I don't have anything with me, I don't think, but if I had a toonie, and I laid it up here on the pulpit, and I said, okay, on the count of three, I'm going to say go. And the first person that gets out of their seats and runs here to the pulpit can have that tunie. It'll be yours to keep for the rest of your life. That tunie's here on your mark. It says, one, two, three, go. I wonder how many people would rush up here to get that tunie. I know I wouldn't. Not that I make extravagant amounts of money, but I mean, a tunie is just a tunie. We call it a Tim token because you can buy a cup of coffee and maybe a donut or something there. I don't know what you can buy with it, but just a tunie. Do you know that the average wage of over half of the world is $2 a day. The average wage of 53% of this world is $2 a day. If I went in some places and I put a toonie on a pulpit, I said, the first person that would race up here can have that toonie, there would be a mad rush to get a day's worth of wage. I think in our area around, this is just roughly saying, our wage is probably about 100 times that. $200 a day would be about $1,000 a week, about $52,000 a year. That's not even a lot of money, I don't think, in our day and age. But let's say that. Let's say today I took $200 bills out, and I laid $200 bills in that pulpit. And I'd say, okay, on the count of three, first it would never happen because I don't have $200 bills, and I would never lay them on the pulpit around a bunch of Baptists. I wouldn't do that. And if I had it, I wouldn't tell you I had it because I want to get home safe, right? So if I had that $200, now the story may be different. I know there'd be some kids and teenagers be worthwhile to get out of your seat to get that $200. Hey, it would be worth my while to get out of the seat to get $200. The location, the place that we live in, lends itself to us being lukewarm and satisfied because we are, by the world's standard, you are rich. I am rich. Being rich is neither right nor wrong. The Bible teaches that. It's not wrong to be rich. I don't think Job had a problem with being rich or Abraham had a problem being rich. I mean, being rich was neither right nor wrong, but it can be, listen now, a disadvantage in the things of Jesus Christ. Just ask the rich young ruler when he came to God, when he came to Christ, and Christ said, go sell all you had and follow me. And he went away to his house sorry because he was very rich. Riches can be a disadvantage. Well, it can be an advantage if used for God. If you see that every dollar that I have, whether it's a toonie or $200, belongs to God, I'm just going to use it for God, then it's an advantage. Because in reality, you're not rich. Because it's not your money, it's God's. And so this church, this age that we live in, the churches across North America, I believe, fit into this category that we are indeed rich. And because of that, it can be a disadvantage. And it lends itself to being, listen, a lukewarm Christian. Let's say today I had a $100 bill. Let's say I had a stack of $100 bills. And I said, okay, this Saturday we're going to go hand out flyers. And for every flyer you hand out this week, I'll give you $100. I'll give you $100. You know, I'm not real smart, but I know that if I went out and I handed out 10 flyers, I'd have $1,000. And I know that a new vehicle, I mean a brand new one, I could probably get for, you know, maybe $30,000. So if I really went at it in one day, I could buy myself a new car. See, I may say, well, hey, for $100 a flyer, man, I'll go out and hand out some flyers. I'll go knock on some doors. I'll go do some work. If I could get paid $100, but you know, we're not in this business to make money. But I do think that if we're honest with ourselves, folks, we are motivated by money. I am motivated by money. We live in this society. It's all about what you have. Is it not? Am I not living in the same place you are? It's about what you have and building up a retirement and all those things. And nothing wrong with that. As long as that's not your master. Because no man can serve two masters, the Bible says. They'll hate one and love the other. No man can serve God and mammon. That's the Bible says. And so I believe that if we're honest with the day and age that we live in, we have got to come to the conclusion that we are in this lukewarm time period and we are, by the world's standards, rich. Or let's say it this way, because this is how the Bible says it, because thou sayest, I am rich. See, God doesn't say they're rich. He says they say that they're rich. The church is described as being increased with goods. But we have all kinds of stuff, don't we? We got lots of stuff. Every year, sometime in the spring, I go up into my attic above my garage and I take out the summer stuff and I put up the winter stuff. And I rotate those stuff because the winter stuff and the summer stuff can't be in the garage at the same time because my garage isn't big enough to hold the winter stuff and the summer stuff at the same time. So I rotate that. So every year the trampoline comes out, I have it all taken apart, the trampoline comes down and the snow shovels go up and, you know, and all that stuff and the sleds go up there and we rotate the winter stuff with the summer stuff. And also I came up with this idea, I'm going to build a shed so I can stop rotating stuff all the time. So I went out and I bought me a shed. Now, my shed is not built yet. It's still in my garage right now, which is kind of ironic to have a shed inside your garage. But so I have three. This is the honest truth. My wife can tell you the truth. In the middle of our garage is three big boxes of this shed that I bought at Costco, and it's still sitting there. But someday, I'm going to have me a shed. Why? So I can put my stuff in it. And it's all about, you've got to take care of that stuff. And really, when you buy stuff, you should take care of your stuff. But if we're honest, we are increased with goods. Kind of reminds me of a man in the Bible who wanted to build a bigger barn and put his stuff in. Remember that guy? I think I'll build a bigger barn. And God said, tonight, thy soul should be required of thee. Boy, I think, folks, if we're honest with ourselves, the society that we live in, the North American church that we're in, is lukewarm. We think we're rich. We're increased with goods. And the Bible here describes them as saying, we have no needs. Look at verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. What do you really need? We all have wants, but what do we really need? When was the last time you prayed, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, because you didn't know where the bread was going to come from? I honestly don't think I've ever prayed that prayer. I've always had bread to eat. I have very few needs, but I have some wants. And if I'm honest with myself, in the society I live in, and the way I live my Christianity, I have very few needs. And sometimes we just go through life thinking, well, I got everything that I need. You know, that's why it's kind of hard to build a church sometimes in Canada. We have no needs. You knock on these beautiful houses, they knock on their door, and they have jobs and retirements and all those kind of things. They don't need much. I went to St. Lucia this year on a missions trip. And we gave out a soccer ball that I paid $11 U.S. for. And at that youth conference we had, an entire soccer team of 19-year-olds came to church so that one of them could win a soccer ball. And they heard the gospel. We gave away cell phones and soccer balls. One girl brought 70-some visitors in 3 nights. Clementia was her name, Clementia. She brought she rented a bus. A little bus, we don't call it a bus here, we call it a minivan. But she rented one of those and packed it full of people to drive them to church. Because she wanted to win. And those people, the last night we had 24 people, teenagers, trust Christ as their Savior. And I look at what they have and what we have, and I think, man, they're ready to receive the gospel. They don't have all kinds of things cluttering their mind, and they're not rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But here we have need of nothing. But God saw them for what they really were. Look at verse number 17, second part. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, blind and naked. See, God saw things totally different. Where we say, oh, we're rich and increasing good. Things are going good, just kind of sliding along. We're satisfied. And God says, you're wretched. Wretched. The only other time that in the Bible that word wretched is used, the New Testament, is when Paul used it. He used it in Romans chapter 7, where he says this great debate with himself. He says, there's the things that I want to do, but those things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, that's what I do. And I'm kind of in a strait here. I kind of go back and forth, and I have this problem where I just can't seem to overcome the flesh. And I have the flesh, and I have the spirit, and they're warring against each other. And then he says this, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this bondage of this death? Oh, but thanks be to God, which giveth us victory. See, Paul realized how wretched, how dysfunctional he was. This is what I want to do. This is what I end up doing. I do the things I don't want to do. Do we realize how dysfunctional we are? How in God's sight, though we think we're rich and increase the goods, how God says, you're poor, you're wretched, you're miserable. That's God's conclusion. And so we see here that the church that needs to be revived, the church that is lukewarm, is that of the satisfied. You know, it's good to be content with such things as you have. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about when we come to church and we're just satisfied with what God's doing. We're not looking for revival. Our prayer is not, oh Lord, revive us. Oh Lord, give me a little bit more. Hey folks, we got beautiful buildings, we got beautiful properties, we got all kinds of stuff, but do we have the power of God in our life? Would you trade it all for the power of God? Would you trade it all for God to just do a work in your life? Or are we just too satisfied to worry about that? Hey, just going to sail right through here. Things are going so good. You know, I did my time already at the church and did a lot of stuff now. Right now I'm kind of in that coasting mode. Folks, until we get to the point where we would trade it all just to have a touch of God's power, we'll be the church of Laodicea that is lukewarm and loving it. So I believe that the satisfied need revival. The satisfied are lukewarm. Second thing I want to show you, and I'm going to close. The self-deceived are lukewarm. The self-deceived are lukewarm. Probably the most tragic part of this passage, I believe, is found in verse number 17. Let's read it again. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and listen to this, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Listen, folks, they didn't realize they had a need. They were self-deceived. They had convinced themselves that everything was okay. And, you know, just going to church and just doing our thing here, just going through the motions, it's okay. I'm a pretty good guy. I'm going to make it to heaven. It's all going to be wonderful. It's all good. And they had deceived themselves. They knew not that in God's sight, they are poor and wretched, naked and blind. Self-deceived. They thought they were okay. In this passage, we see Jesus Christ is trying to get their attention, but they're oblivious. Look at the famous verse there, verse number 20. Christ says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Well, that's a great salvation verse. If you're not saved today, once you trust Christ your Savior, He stands at the door of your heart and wants to come in, wants to be part of your life. But listen, I believe it's also talking to Christians here that He wants to be part of your very heart and soul of your life and influence and impact every area of your life. He doesn't want to be part of your life. He wants to be your life. The Bible says, Christ, who is our life. And the Bible says, as the Laodicean church, the church that you do live in, the time period that you do live in, it's possible for you to become self-deceived. And Jesus Christ is knocking at your door tonight. And Jesus Christ has brought you here tonight. And Jesus Christ wants to do a work in your heart. And teenager, you sit there and your arms are folded and you're miserable and you're not even happy to be here in church. And He's there knocking on your door. I want to get in there. And adults, you know, we just go through the motions, but Jesus says, there's more for it. There's more to it. I just want to get in. Let me in. Let me in. And they're oblivious to Jesus Christ. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Oh, He wants to sup with you. He wants to fellowship with you. He's knocking at the door. Psalm 15, verses 1 and 2 asks, 15, verse 1 asks two interesting questions. Let me read it for you. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Boy, that's a great question. Lord, who is it that gets to dwell with you? Lord, who is it that gets to spend time with you, to be close to you, to abide in thy tabernacle and dwell on thy holy hill? Who is it, Lord? Who gets to do that? And the answer comes in the next verse, verse 2. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness, and listen to this, and speaketh the truth in his heart. Stop deceiving ourselves and start being honest with ourselves. Are we a lukewarm Christian and just loving it? Just going through. Hey, I'm not saying you're in church on a Sunday night, you know, pat yourself on the back. I'm glad for that. That's good. But you can be in a church. He's writing this to the church of Laodicea. And these folks, the Bible says in Psalms, verse 1 and 2, he that speaketh the truth in his heart. We need to be honest with ourselves and realize we may be rich, but really we're poor. We may be think we're okay, but we're not okay. We're wretched in God's sight. Samson was an Old Testament Bible character on whom the Holy Spirit came upon certain times. What great things Samson accomplished when the Holy Spirit came upon him. I mean, he had ultimate power and awesome power and did great and wonderful things when the Holy Spirit would move upon him. We all know the story of Samson. Then Samson woke up for the last time. And the Bible says this about Samson in Judges 16, verse 20. And she said, talking about Delilah, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And listen to this last phrase. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Hey, folks, he was so self-deceived, he didn't even realize he lost the power of God. He was ready to go out and just do the same thing he had always done all the times before. He destroyed the Philistines, no big deal. And he woke up and he was so far from God and gotten so self-deceived, he said, he didn't even realize. He wist not that the Holy Spirit had departed from him. Can I tell you that there's churches meeting on a weekly basis in North America, singing the same songs you just sang, and having a scripture reading, and the guy preach, and they're walking out the door, and the Holy Spirit hasn't been there for years. And it better not ever become Bethel Baptist Church or Bible Baptist Church. And there's homes of Christians who just come to church and they pack everybody up and they load up at a certain time every week to drive to church and they do the church thing and they do all that. But listen, when was the last time the Holy Spirit worked on your heart and did something in your life and has changed your family? Where's the Holy Spirit of God? Folks, we're living in the lukewarm period of the Laodicean church. And if we're not careful, we'll just get up and do our thing and not even realize the Holy Spirit has departed from what we're doing. He did everything the same as before, but he had no power. Folks, you can teach a class. You can ride a bus. You can raise a family. And you can have no power and not even realize it. Would to God that our Sunday school teachers and our bus workers and our pastoral staff and our ushers and our choir and our special music would say, I don't want to just go through the motions. May the Holy Spirit of God empower me as I sing tonight. May the Holy Spirit of God empower me as I teach my Sunday school class. May the Holy Spirit of God empower me as I knock on doors this week, as I go to build that bus route, as I visit families. May the Holy Spirit of God give me power as I raise my children. May the Holy Spirit of God empower me. I don't want to just live this life and just go through it through the motions. I'm sick of that. I don't want to be satisfied anymore. And I will not be self-deceived. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me. God, if there's anything in me, please search me. I don't want to do that anymore. Can I tell you what? When I got right with the Lord at age 17, I surrendered my life to the Lord, I was so sick of playing games. I was so sick of coming forward in an invitation time and praying and maybe even crying a little bit and then going back, and 2 weeks later that decision was gone. I was sick of that. I don't want to play that game anymore. I want God to make a change and keep the change and use me, or else I don't want to play anymore. Until we get to that point where we say, I don't want to play church anymore. I don't want to play bus worker anymore. I don't want to play Sunday school teacher anymore. I want the power of God in my life. We won't have revival. And we'll be a lukewarm church, just in a lukewarm age. And things will be good. I mean, I'm not saying you won't be happy. These folks are very content. Read it. They're very content. Because they wist not the Lord had departed from them. And they didn't even realize. They know not that they were wretched and miserable in God's sight. A Chinese Christian came to North America. And he examined some of the churches. And as he looked at the churches, after he visited several churches, they asked him, "What have you seen in these North American churches? What has impressed you most about our North American churches?" His answer was this: "The great things Americans can accomplish without God." He said, I see the buildings, and I see the programs, and I see the people, but I have not yet seen God move. That's the Laodicean age. It all looks good on the outside. But where's the power of God? Where's God really doing a work? We need folks to just say, "Lord, I'm not playing games anymore." As Jesus Christ stands at the door and knocks, and I want in. I don't want part of your heart. I want it all. I want into your life. I want to be your life. I want to be your purpose in life. The Moravian missionary movement began when a couple of young men from Britain decided they're going to do something about what seemed to be an impossible circumstance. There is an island in the West Indies. On that island, there's about 2,000 to 3,000 British slaves. And there was one man, a British man who owned the island. He ran the island, and he said, "I will not allow a preacher to ever stay on this island. There'll be no gospel witness, no preacher will ever stay on this island and preach the gospel to these slaves." Until two young men from Britain sold themselves as slaves. And they said goodbye to their families as they left for the very last time the island of Britain to go to this island. We don't know what happened after that. But we know two young men were never seen again. And they did it because they loved the Lord. And they did it because there was a need. And they said, "If you can take my life and use me, I'll do it." Are we willing? I mean, I don't think I'm willing to do that. Would I be willing to say, "Okay, I'm leaving now, honey. You won't see me again. I'm going to go sell myself as a slave." Or maybe even we can see me together, but to leave all that I know to go do that. Are you willing to do that? Does God have it all? Oh, folks, I hope we don't live in this Laodicean church. But can we be honest with ourselves tonight? Please, just be honest with yourself tonight. The description of the church of Laodicea fits our culture to a T. And often fits our churches. And often fits our Christians. The real truth of the matter is that many in churches today are lukewarm and loving it. Bethel Baptist Church, we need revival. We need revival. We need to stop being satisfied and stop being self-deceived. We need to start living and listening to the voice of God as He knocks at your heart's door and says, "Here's what I want you to do. Be obedient. Be obedient to God." Are you lukewarm and loving it? Or are you saying, "No, today you have it all. God, you have it all. Whatever it is, you have it all. I don't want to live another day without the power of God. I don't want to teach another class without the power of God. I just cannot stand. I don't want to play games anymore. I want to have God's power, God's presence in my life." Oh, God, do a work and revive us tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. I pray that God would do a work in your heart and in my heart. We, as a preacher, you preach the Word of God, and it convicts hopefully those who listen and also to those who preach. We live in this time period, but we don't have to be of this time period. But I believe that even our independent Baptist churches, if we're honest with ourselves, are filled with people who are just satisfied and maybe even self-deceived. But tonight, Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit, is knocking at the door. Won't you listen? Won't you respond? Oh, we need revival. Oh, we need revival. If you're here tonight, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we'd like to invite you to know Christ. That's the most important decision. If you have never made that personal decision to accept Jesus Christ in a very real way, we have workers to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. For the most part, I'm preaching to those who have already trusted Christ. What is your relationship like with Almighty God? Has He spoken to your heart tonight? If He has, in this invitation time, won't you respond and do what God wants you to do? Lord, we do need revival. Oh, Father, I pray that You would examine our hearts right now. May each one of us be honest with You and see ourselves the way You see us. We see ourselves as rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, but yet maybe You see us tonight as poor and wretched, miserable. And Father, may there be some tonight that would surrender to the knocking at the door of their heart and truly become to the point where they say, "I want God to have everything. I don't want to teach another class. I don't want to go another day without the power of God in my life." Oh, that the power of God may never depart from this church. Please give us Your presence and Your power even now in this invitation time. In your precious name we pray. Amen. So let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed, eyes closed, and the piano begins to play.